Hello, Sister Thelma.
That's what I'm wondering. You have 65 seconds to finish up what you have.
So the size of
minute to minute.
Now take more, there is lots of
today is a special day of today is a special day of tolerance because our founder member is here. And on an auspicious day when we are completing 6 years, last week we completed 6 years, and today we are completing our 125th session. All glory to God. All glory to God. And thanks to all of you. Without you, we could not make it, okay? So please continue. Please continue.
You called Veena as the chief guest.
Yes. Yes. But she did not reply to my invitation. No? So she gave me a surprise. Very good, very nice. So pleasant, nice. So I was wondering whether my eyesight is getting so bad, you know. I saw
a figure coming. He's not recognizing. So brother said, Mandi, he cannot see. Okay, then I can run straight.
I said, this looks like Leena.
He's trying to figure out whether he's one of the students.
And then it turned out to be really Leena. Oh God. Chalo, 55.4. Let's close our eyes and bow before the Lord who is here. Sweet loving Father, in your great loving mercy we stand, honoring you for who you are, Lord. Thanking you for this auspicious day, O Lord, when you have brought us so far, my God. It's only you, Lord, your mercies and your compassion that accompany us,
yes,
every moment of our lives, especially in this Bible reflection sessions, Lord, that we never expected to come here, Lord, so far. Lord, in a very special way, we thank you for our sister Leena, Lord, whom you have blessed us with, Lord, today, Lord, on this very beautiful, auspicious session, Lord. Only you know, Lord, how much we miss her, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for this instrument once again in our midst today, Lord.
Thank you.
Sweet loving Jesus, is always your blood that does wonders in our life, Lord. It's always your blood, Lord. And today, and in this moment, moments of Lenten season, Lord God, we remember how precious that is for each one of us, Lord. You left your divinity and came to shed this blood for us, Lord. There is nothing that is more powerful than this beautiful, precious blood of yours, Lord God, which we have witnessed, Lord, miracles taking place as we sprinkle this blood on people, O God, and on nations, Lord God, and on circumstances, Lord God. The same blood we sprinkle once again today, Lord God. Praying, O Lord God, that once this blood is sprinkled, Lord, there's nothing that is not of thy kingdom that stays here, Lord. Everything is out, Lord God. So that we can spend this time, Lord, totally and completely meditating on you and your word, Lord God. And come, Holy Spirit. You, this is your session, Lord. We are all eagerly come to wait and listen to what you are going to speak to us today, Lord God. Time and again, you have never failed us, Lord God. You have given us what we wanted, Lord God, at our level, O God. Because only you can penetrate our hearts, Lord God, to this level, O God. Lord, thank you for all your sessions, Lord. And we pray that we will have a beautiful session here where you will be able to continue teaching us, Lord, the book of Revelation. Oh, Lord, that is so important and vital in our lives today, Lord, for the preparation of our future, Lord.
Yes.
And sweet Mother Mary, nothing is complete without you.
Yes.
Today, Mama Mary, we pray, continue to be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, pray for us and keep us under your mantle of blue, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening, dear brothers and sisters.
Good evening, dear.
And welcome once again. And lovely biscuits and laddus to grace the occasion. You know, that's the only few ingredients that was missing in heaven, and we now have it today here. So it completes it. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. We begin today. So just recap, okay? We have finished the throne in heaven. God the Father sitting with the scroll in his hand, okay? All the lies emancipating from him, showing that he is all powerful, untouchable, unreachable, unseeable. Then we have the come on. Before that, 24 elders round the throne, okay, with 24 thrones. Come on, next, what happens? We have whom?
The four cherubims,
yeah? They have got so many eyes that, you know, they can see everything. It denotes God, the Father, in the most, that he can see everything. Okay, then we have the angels, right, singing things and all. And after all that, then we find a small lamb, slain sitting in the corner. Yeah, and we have, all this time, and when John was having this vision, he did not see the lamb there. But then the angel shouts out, then John sees the scroll, and the angel shouts out, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" Yeah, and then John finds silence in the heavens and the earth. Nobody is there to visit. And then he starts crying, not only crying, starts weeping bitterly. Because he sees doom and the end of every hope. And suddenly he gets a tap on his back, and it's one of the elders telling him, "Don't cry. Don't cry, because the Lamb of God was slain is worthy of opening the Lamb." And there comes the Lamb then. Okay? He's called the Lamb of God. He's also called the Lion of Judah. He plays two roles. Now at the moment he has played the role of the Lamb of God, and very soon he will come as the Lion of Judah. He opens the scroll. Okay, a scroll is they didn't have books then. It's a roll. And depending upon its importance, it is sealed. It is sealed, and only those people who have sealed it can open it again to refer to it. The only time it was used extensively in the past was for a will to be made. Whenever there's a will to be made regarding a land or houses or anything, they were all agreed together. Especially when the land was being sold, right? They should make this will and see it. And there was a clause in that you know, this particular land can be bought back, okay, at a price and with conditions given by, first of all, the family members, and then it goes on. Like, you know, a typical example is Ruth and is that Ruth? Yeah, Ruth and how Boaz, you know, buys her back. Right, buys her back all, and he was not immediate in the family. There was another person who wasn't immediate in the family, but he didn't want her and all that. And then, so that was the system. Now we have a scroll in God the Father's hands, having not only one seal, seven seals, and seven is a perfect number. Okay, now we will see why those seals, what it is. Today, the Lamb of God, that is Jesus, is beginning to open the seals, okay? Anything else we missed in that? Right. Now, Now, what is this document? What is this document which God the Father has in his hand? It's a very important document since it has got seven seals on it. And it is a document, as we said, no, it is always a document of a plot or something like that that is handed over to somebody, and then it's a retrieving process and all that stuff. So this is a document now of the earth. It's an earth document. The ownership of the earth, which was given to Adam. It was given to Adam, and then Adam sold it to Satan, right, in his own sinfulness. And then so far we are just bearing the consequences of sin. Jesus came, he died, he redeemed us, but the consequences of sin still remain. Satan is still the owner of this place and the ruler of this place, sorry, not owner, the ruler of this place, and he will do so until the last judgment. That's what even the Bible tells us about it. So is it a time of panic or what? Yeah, finish, like John, shall we all sit and cry? You know, doom, you know, then who will tap your backs? It is a time where we understand, okay? Now see, Jesus has won the cross, has won the battle for us. Okay, unless you proclaim, unless you believe, unless you proclaim it, unless you snatch that victory, it's not yours. Okay, he has done the job. It is, as always, the only thing but where God is weak is in what one area, which is that he has given us his free will. That's the only weakness of God, because when that he did it because of love. Now, how many of us know that God created us with love? We know that, but can you prove that to us? God created us with love. Okay, we have this statement, but it's like, no, what is the theology behind it? How do we know? How do we prove that he has really created us with love?
Genesis
1:26. Open. Let's see what it says.
Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
Yes. So he has created all these things for us to enjoy. That's given in the Bible as well. But there are some people who still say that where is God when things happened wrong? Where is God? Where is God? Does he really love us? Answer questions which comes very often into our minds. And we, as knowing God so well, we refute that question because we know what it is. Now, the reason why I brought this thing up today is because I had the same topic with my students this morning. And we were going through, and I was going through the preparation of my notes. It so very clearly says, one of the students asked me, when was God born? You know, like, what is it? I said, God has got no birth certificate, no death certificate. Yeah, he is there from eternity. That we'll never understand unless we go to him and he tells us about it. Yeah, but let us understand the fact that God is eternal. He was always there. He was always here. He's always here now, and he'll always be there till the end. then they said, like, you know, what about God's love? Like, you know, but the topic was on pain, sufferings and pain. I had done my study, so I asked them a few questions. Like, for example, that's the same question I put to you now. What really tells us that God loves us so much? That God really... Now, this description is fine. He gives us authority. He loves us, definitely, 100% sure. Now, see, there are a few basic laws on these things. One of them is God is eternal, right? He's eternal and everything belongs to him. He has created this earth, and we only know this part of the earth because we live in it. But when you look at the scientists and the galaxies that are there in the world, we will not even commit one sin when we understand who he is and what he has done and what he possesses. Okay, that's number one. Thirdly, he has everything. He is not in want of anything, right? He has got everything and everything else. Now, when you have got everything, when you do something special, It is only out of your passion, your love, that you do something good. Now, scientists, right, the researchers, they spend time and time on researching something. That is why we have come to all these gadgets that, you know, somebody had researched at that time. It went on developing. Today, we are freely using these gadgets. Now, those people were not forced into research. That was a passion to go into research. They did the studies and they started researching. Even today, there are so many, all the people in different scenarios on different sites are working to get things better and better and better. Okay? So that is the passion. So God also created human beings. He created human because he wanted to have some love, right? And he created the earth with this, blah, blah, all you know that, right? And the only thing he did special was he created human beings in accordance to his own image and likeness, right? He didn't have to create us, right? He's not indebted to us. And that is why sometimes when we go into praise and worship, you know, we say that God doesn't become bigger or smaller when we praise and worship him. Like, you know, he's the same, but we grow in him. No? We grow in him. And that is why, now just imagine, he loves us so much that he gives his own son. I mean, nobody on earth would have definitely done that. He gives his own son to die for us. So just imagine, sometimes I would say that he treats us better than his own son, Jesus. And Jesus, in his love, great love, comes and says, Father, don't worry, I am going. He came to die. Yeah, he came to die and to redeem us from our sinfulness. So if you look into these, what do you call that, you know, into these objects of the definition of God, can you call God anything but love? You just can't. So then the topic of why was there pain and sufferings? So pain and sufferings is there because of the sin of Adam and the sin of us that we continue to commit in spite of knowing that God is love. There was a small video which we played in the session, in which there was a nice family of a pastor's family, and there the pastor, his wife, and his two sons, right? And when they went for a holiday, they were good skiers, you know. So they went in skiing, and the youngest son fell in a very awkward position, and he had his head smashed, and he was in the hospital for 17 days. And the pastor said, I prayed for my son. They all prayed together for their son to recover. Yeah. On the 17th day, the son died. Okay. And then he said, everything was shattered for us, the pastor is telling us. But he said he had one hope, that he was an organ donor. The boy was, he said that whenever I die, you know, don't donate my organs. So they wanted to at least do that. But the doctor said that the organs are beyond donation. So that was the time he said, I was just frustrated, and I just sort of, you know, gave up on God. But then he said, no. He said that the love of God was so great that we accepted the fact that our son died. The elder brother also accepted that. And then they said, we walked with God. We walked with God. And then she says a very beautiful thing, the wife. She said, when we were crying, God was crying with us. There are certain things that happen which is a reaction of the sins that we do. Yeah, it's a reaction. And sometimes the Lord will stop it, but sometimes the Lord cannot stop everything. You know, because we have to bear the consequences of our sin. That is why we cannot take sin very lightly. Although we do this thing. And now this is the time when in Revelation, when God is saying, enough is enough, I've done my this thing, and he's come to take revenge now on the sins that have been committed by mankind, right? And who have not repented. So this opening of seals is basically it's not the end times, but it is the beginning to the end. Okay, so every seal that is opened, there will be now you'll see how the Lord will bring in trials, tribulations. He allows it to happen, yeah, for a purpose, that, you know, to show to us that sin is so destructive. People have now take an example, a guy who's now today somebody has been killed, you know, somewhere in some
New Zealand,
yeah, right? Yeah, a crazy guy. What is their fault? What must be the people, you know, their parents and their relatives, you know, crying? Well, just because one lunatic kills. And the consequence of sin. People have to bear that sin. The consequence is always there of sin. That is why whenever I used to take things very lightly when during my heyday times, you know, that sin is like, you know, we could not see the consequences coming immediately of a sin. Yeah, but eventually I understood what happened. And now it's a dread even to think about sin. You know, so we have come. Well, the more you understand it, the more dreadful it is. Now you will see the wrath of God in this chapter as we open. Come and read. Revelation 6.
Shall I? Yeah, please.
Okay.
Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures call out as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second
seal... We'll wait for the first. We'll go step by step. Huh?
Yes.
The first seal. The first seal is opened by Jesus, okay? And I heard one of the four living creatures. You know, we remember we have got four creatures there. The cherubims. Even when they speak, being so much close to the Lord, when they speak, it sounds like thunder. Okay, so they say, "Come," you know. "Come." And I saw a bold, and behold, a white horse. And he who was seated on it had a bow, and a conqueror's crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. White horse. We have all seen horses, so now we have to just imagine colors, okay? And they are not just tame horses, they are really, you know, horses that are galloping by this thing. So this horse is white. Comes on and there's a rider on the horse, okay? Who do you think, like without even, for those who have not read it, who do you think this could be? You know, all the colors and things and denotes what?
Jesus?
Yeah, okay, Jesus. Any other guesses?
Who's riding on the white?
The Lion of Judah.
Yeah. Our thoughts immediately go to Jesus on that white horse, right? Because who will come on a white horse and a conqueror? Who will conquer? He has got a bow in his hand, right? All these things are given to him, okay? And he has a conqueror's crown. We have been studying a lot of Greek, no? In our Revelation, we are almost about to give an exam for that. These two words came before in the past, okay? It's, here the crown which is described in this rider is called Stephanos. Rings a bell somewhere? And the other crown is a diadem.
Diadem
and a Stephanos, right? Now, Stephanos' crown is a crown given to victors. Once you run a race, you win the race, and you're given a Stephanos, which is a sort of a wreath crown, okay? Which is the crown given to you for that particular feat, yeah? But as Jesus' crown is a diadem crown, yeah? And a diadem crown is a royal crown. Okay, so there is one difference. Now what happens? Like, what is the scenario like? Now, we have a white horse, we have a rider, and we have a Stephanos crown on him. So now what happens? What do you think like? Is he? Or is he not? Is he Jesus? Is he not Jesus? Yeah. Will Jesus come with a inferior crown? No. Jesus doesn't come with inferior crown because Jesus is Jesus. Yeah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he cannot come with a. So somebody has come in his name, pretending to be Jesus, yeah, and you know, acting to be Jesus. Have you heard that Antichrist is going to come soon? You know, so this is the first cross or horse which comes. Yeah, he comes as to pretend that he is Jesus, pretending that he is going to be he's Jesus. He comes, but now see. When you have a jewelry, a true jewelry and an imitation jewelry, how close they look.
Yeah.
Only now, some of the goldsmiths are not, because I work in that field. They have to, you know, actually scrape to find out. I used to see people scraping and all. I said, what do you find out in scraping? But then they scrape that gold piece, this thing, and then they light it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it is gold, nothing, you'll find it there. But if it is anything other metal, it disappears. Okay, so that is the proof that a metal is gold or not gold. Right? So you will find false prophets coming like this. Nice, like, you know, shining armor. And he's talking about peace now. This rider is talking about peace. See, he's just come with a bow. Normally what goes with a bow? An arrow. Yeah, an arrow goes. They don't describe an arrow with him. He comes with a bow to put people, you know, saying that I am the one, I am coming with peace, I'm on a white horse, you know. So people will be attracted to him. Will say, in one of the scriptures, Jesus himself says, no, many will come in my name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are not me. Mm-hmm. Many will come in my name. Wow. So the first horse that God the Father releases is that Jesus opens the scroll and comes out is this horse of deception. Yeah, deception. He comes on a white horse. Now in the Roman times also, whenever, you know, there were fights, right? In the old, they say there were always fights, and in a fight, one person wins, right? One king wins, and whenever the king won, what used to happen is they used to have chariots, white chariots, ready to take that king around to show that he is a victor. Okay, he's a victor. So John is now for that time. So he's getting vision, which the people should understand as well. So victor's crown. If suppose like today somebody comes on a white horse, we'll not even bother because there are so many white horses in Juhu area, no, Asa area. So many white horses are there moving about. So that's not Jesus, not his invitation, right? So that is the thing. In his time, wars were plenty, horses were plenty, and the colors mattered a lot. Okay, when the king is victorious, he comes on a white horse. That was one of the reasons. And so I behold a white horse, and the one who was seated in it had a bow, and a conqueror's crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Yeah. Now this man is conquering by his words, he's conquering by his actions, conquering, saying that I am Jesus, the ruler of peace, and I'm coming to conquer peace. But just for an eye wash. That's for an eye wash. In today's world, I don't know whether we are already into that period, but a lot of speculations take place about different people, especially against the Catholic faith. You know that we, are, you know, the non-Christians, they openly say that the Catholics are the Antichrist. I mean, sometimes I just have to sit and laugh, and I just say, like, no, wow, how nice. How nice.
This is alluded to the 600 year. Uh-huh. Actually, when false prophet already killed, and he was a bandit on a horse also.
Okay.
Who is that? This Muhammad.
Muhammad.
Yeah, he was a bandit. Yeah.
Muhammad, yeah. He was on a white horse, huh?
Probably,
yeah. Yeah, so that is one reason. And another reason, as we said, the Roman empires, they are used to
600 after Christ.
So that's, yeah, so that is one of the, you know, things we can look into. I have to find out now whether he really had a white horse or what.
Because they were,
yeah, he had a white horse, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they were bandits, no? They used to rob people moving about and things like that.
Then he made like a come for peace, like, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tomorrow somebody comes with a white horse, you know, it's not Jesus. Because yeah, test the crowd. Okay. Then what happens next? Second.
When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people would slaughter one another. And he was given a great sword.
Yeah. So second beast now, these beasts have got their own jobs. So don't think you, when you go to heaven, you'll be sitting on the street. You have got your jobs to do. Everybody has got a job to do. Okay? And the second beast calls out, "Come." Again, the same thunder voice. And red horse. It's easy to sing, no? Identify, because we see them in the movies. White horse, red horse. Come. Now, what is the color of, what does red denote, color red?
Bloodshed.
Always bloodshed, no? always bloodshed. So in the first we had a white, pure white, faking to be peace. Now we have the guy who is coming with war in hand. Yeah, he's having, his intention is to take away peace from the earth and to bring it about that men should slay each other, that men should slay each other, and a great sword was given to him. Do you think this is happening today?
Yes. Caliphate. Third horse. Caliphate. Same.
Yeah.
Jihadist. Yeah.
Yes. This is very now. So the second horse is already there. Mm. Right? The second horse is already here. Even this incident which took place now. How many of them are happening? So, see. Now this God is allowing to happen. Right? He wants to show. There is a meaning behind. By the time we come to the end of Revelation, you will know why God is doing this. Sin, S-I-N, is not an easy, three-letter word. It's a very dangerous three-letter word. And all this. Now, why do you think that this lunatic man has killed? Sin. The effects of sin. Probably of his own sin or to the ancestry sin that's coming to him, getting them. And then who dies? Innocent people. Innocent people die, right? So, in the Bible as well, I'll give you references now in the past, what has happened. Now, see. Brother will fight against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city will rise against city, and kingdom against kingdom. Isaiah 19 tells us that. Isaiah 19:2 tells us this. See, these have come right from that time. Okay, so you see the connection now. Every man's hand shall be against the hand of his neighbor. Zechariah 14:13. Every man's hand shall be against the hand of his neighbor. Sometimes, I really thank God that we are in this period, because we are not going to stay. I don't think we'll be staying till the end of that. But then, happy with this thought, I'm sad because my children will be there, generations will be there. So it's a very selfish thought. That is why we can save our generations through prayer. What are the consequences of we know of sin? But how do we also save our people?
Yes.
God has given that in our hands.
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah. Now, no lack of knowledge because we know it. 125th session, no? So no lack of knowledge at all. So we know it. Now we have to pray. We have to continue to pray. If you do it, if you hear and don't do it, as it is, the disaster is so much. And you can imagine. You will not be excused. And see, I was just telling another scenario to my kids there, in the class today. I said, see, take an example. We go on the last day, and all of you are in heaven. And Uncle Neville is in hell. Would you like it? they were smiling, thinking, yeah. And they're smiling. I said, you will say, no, Uncle Neville was teaching us religion. He's only down in hell. Yeah, but I said, now jokes aside, I said, take an example in your own family. Suppose you are in heaven and your own family is down in hell, or vice versa. Suppose your family is there and you are down in hell. How would you like? There's nothing you can do after that. Whatever you have to do now, you have to do it now. If you have somebody in your family whom you know is on the wrong track, is doing something wrong, now is the time to pray.
Yes,
and your prayers and my prayers can save those people.
Sir. It is a very important topic point, my dear brother. There is a very, which someday I will share, there is a message in the holy book that you and I are responsible for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our community, our society. If they do anything wrong and you watch them, you know, and you have no courage to correct, they are not to be.
No.
But we are responsible. Imagine if you think about it, we think only our children, we are responsible. But it is our family and friends and all. And that is the time you stand and you tell the person, irrespective whether he or she likes it. But we need to save them.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what position, whatever he may be, but there is only one God, and He reigns in heaven and earth. No one
He may give us a big money or a big job, or big, but our God reigns.
Exactly.
And today we are, and there is a very, very beautiful message. And as you said, it's not to be scared, but it is to have that knowledge.
Yes.
So that we can save. And God is merciful. And God is compassionate. And He will have mercy. He will, because like Moses, like all the, this, we will kneel and ask God for mercy. And
yes.
Our God will hear.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
How many times that possible? Like how many times Neville is asking? How many times Lina is asking? How many times, you know?
Yeah,
okay, let me, I can't. Because you and I have to keep knocking. Lord,
yeah.
Have mercy. Lord, save. Lord,
exactly. What sister is saying is 100% true. Now we call ourselves the body of Christ. Are we the body of Christ or not?
Yes.
Anybody here who's not? No. We all body of Christ. Now when we have a headache, we are all happy. Or when suppose we have a cut on our finger, okay? So everybody will enjoy, and that pain is going to trouble us. So a pain for any part of your body affects your entire body. The same thing should happen to us. When somebody is sick, like something is wrong with somebody, Anil is having some problems, we should all be affected by it. We should all be affected by it and then help him out to get. So we put a bad tape or something like that. Okay, so we should bandage Anil. I'm just giving as an example, Anil, don't take it as personal. You know, so, and then we take hold of him, we get him okay, right? So that's the way we have body of Christ. And that is, now see, I don't know how many of you are being tempted 24/7. Tempted 24/7.
Yeah.
I am 24/7. I am tempted. Yeah. So now, the other day, God, gave me a revelation. I asked, what is unceasing prayer? If you are unceasingly tempted, so what is the counteract attack for that? Unceasing prayer. Yeah. Like, and it happens to me as you grow closer and closer to the Lord, the temptations, the difficulties, the attacks of Satan comes very, very much, you know. And the only way to stop that is to pray. That's the only thing. Your weapon is prayer. And we know that prayer will always win. Okay. And every time I keep on iterating, you know, it's not like, I'm afraid of you, or like, you win. No. We win. We are the overcomers. We are not giving in. We have to be overcomers with Jesus, with the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. God doesn't like small timers. He wants big timers. Okay, so if you're content with what you are doing, that's why God says, get out of your comfort zone. You have to, sister was saying, we have to pray for others. Okay, we know we are saved, our family is saved, but what your and my responsibility is to pray for the world. If somebody somewhere, and you know that person is affected and did not turn his life, believe me, God is going to ask you and me, why haven't you gone? We go only to the affluent people. We go to the people who are our friends, and we leave. Look in our own parish, there will be so many you will get who needs our attention. We are not bothered, no? Me inclusive, I'm talking, the messages first come to me. You know, so when we understand this, like I was asking those people, then I told my children today, I said, from today onwards, pray for your people whom you know you are dissing, who are, I said, you don't want to see you in heaven and they in hell, right? And at that time, there is no alternative. The time for saving somebody is now and today, right? I'm sure every one of us will have somebody in our family or somebody you know who desperately requires prayers, who's on the outline. Now, as I've always, many a times I've told, now, only in the morning or at Mass, I will bring my family people and everybody by name whom I know who have asked for prayers at the altar. After that, I don't pray for specifically for any family member of mine. My desire and the burden which God has given me is for sinners and for the youth. I mean, you're talking about these youth who are sinners. There's the two people I just pray for. Now, the Indian Navinas, I pray for these two, sinners and the youth. Somebody has to pray for them, right? So the faster we understand that, God will take care of us when we pray for others. God will take care of our own children, of our own people. That's God's faithfulness. But we have to do it. And the more you pray for somebody else, you'll be attacked. That's not a threat, but you'll be attacked. And the only remedy for that is unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer doesn't mean you say, 100 Hail Marys and 100 Our Fathers. No. When you're cooking, you pray. Your heart should be tuned to the Lord. Lord, I'm praying for this person. Well, you know, when you're driving, you pray. So what I used to think was impossible, now God has given me the grace to become possible. In my day-to-day jobs also, when I'm on the computer, when I'm on this thing, I can still pray. I can still remember the Lord. You know, saying, yes, Lord, thank you. You know, yes, Lord. But that's prayer enough. He knows what your heart is and what you desire. You don't have to spell out to him everything that you want him to do. He knows what to do. It's just our communication with him, our desire to him. And you see tremendous things happening. I like to reiterate time and time again, because before, when we used to pray, it used to take a lot of time for the prayers to be answered. Now, the thought is just in my mind. And it is answered. Now, the other day, the other day I had used my specs for reading. Sometimes I have to use it. And I used it, I don't know when I used it, but it's missing. You know, and that is one of my good ones. I said, Lord, where is it gone? I searched everywhere, where it is gone. And I was just before going to the prayer. And I found the Lord, the Holy Spirit telling me, go to that bag, which I carry, Mother Mary's bag. No, I go to the bag and see. I went there and it is there. You know, I said, Lord, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. I have searched left, right, and center. I said, no, where? Not in the car, not in my office. Where must have gone? And he tells me, and I was just about to sit, and that thought came to me, Lord, where? And he told me, it's in the bag was in my other room. He said, go there, you'll get it. I went there, and I found it there. You know, why I'm telling you that? Not to brag, but you know, God is so faithful now. He wants a little bit of desire, that good, holy desire you have, he does it. Believe me, try him. He does it. So now we have come across a red horse. And red is Now we have not finished with the scriptures. Now from dawn to sunset, they will slay each other. Enoch, the book of Enoch. I told you there are many books which are not in the Bible. Yeah? Enoch 100 verse 12 says that. I remember Sister Lena had once given me the book on the Gospel of Mother Mary. Right? And it was such a beautiful, awesome gospel that I read. And in that, it's not in the Bible, never in the Bible, but in that, you know, when Jesus was being bathed by Mother Mary, that water was healing the other children. Yes. And people used to come for that, to this. And Jesus was also quite mischievous. He used to hit people and hit all. So don't think that Jesus was just like, he was truly human, and he did it. There is a story that I think in that book or somewhere else.
Same. Yeah, only when somebody
he killed somebody, no?
No, he didn't kill. They were playing hide and seek, and the boy falls from the roof and he dies. But somebody else had pushed him. So the children say, no, Jesus pushed him. So the mothers come and ask the Ma Mary, and all they bring the complaints. Your son threw him down. So Jesus says, okay, come. He tells, now he's dead. No, the boy is dead. So get up. Now they all are saying that I pushed you. Did I push you? No, the other
one. Yeah. See the truth. Just to find out the truth, it wakes him up. A baby Jesus now. Baby Jesus, his baby. So just imagine now what he'll do. Huh? And we are afraid of something, or we are afraid of what people do it.
Small, we used to take mud clay,
And
we used to just let them to fly.
Yeah. And that is mentioned in the Quran.
Yeah.
That is mentioned in the Quran, but it's not mentioned. But in this, there are so many gospels like that which are not in this, you know. And but it's very informative. And I don't know why the Muslims. I've never read that gospel actually. Gospel of Barnabas? No. They always claim that gospel for what reason? I don't know. Is it Barnabas or some? Oh, Barnabas, no. Gospel of Barnabas. I have to read it. Why they claim? There is something that might be, something that is favoring them. That's why they are doing that. Now see, then friend shall war against friend. How many of you are friends here? Friends will attack one another suddenly. 4 Ezra 5 says that. 4 Ezra 5. Ezra is in our book, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 4 Ezra 5, chapter 5, verse 9 says that, and also chapter 6, verse 24 of Ezra. Some of them shall fall in battle, and some of them shall perish in anguish, and some of them shall be destroyed by their own. 2 Baruch, chapter 70, verses 2 to 8. It tells you of all these disasters. Now, right from that time. Many shall be stirred up in anger to injure many, and they shall rouse up all men in order to shed blood, and in the end they will all perish together. Brutality always ends in brutality. Okay, 2 Baruch 48:37 says this. So, the red horse, the horse of war, the horse of pestilence, the horse of creating enmity between one another. Okay. Now, I wouldn't go to that extent of waiting for this to happen. How many things we have already seen things happening. Sometimes in our own family, for a small reason, there is a flare. Okay, there is a flare. The red horse has entered. Now it's up to you. Are you going to feed that red horse, or are you going to say enough is enough? No, we are not taking you into our house. Yeah, we are not taking you into our house. Now these are the things. That see, this doesn't say that, but this is the things where you have to. Then revelation creates a meaning in you, and then you create a meaning in this. So wherever there is sin and this God is showing you, we can counter attack. We can counter attack. So many times it happens. You know, see when you see a big. Now it doesn't happen much to me because I know how the Lord operates. But suddenly, you know, you're in a nice thing. Suddenly somebody says something and the whole peace is gone. Whole peace is gone. You are part of that this thing. But now, no. Not because we know how the Lord operates. And we know what is the next step. I always say, we are all human beings. That is a good excuse we have. So whenever something happens, the fear, the terror comes first. Even today, something suddenly out of blue. I'm afraid. But then what is my next step? Will determine my course of action. Yeah. Right? Am I going to stay in fear? Because God says, fear not. We have to claim the scriptures from then on. Fear not, for I am with you. I said, Lord, everything is looking topsy-turvy. And everything looks like I am before the Red Sea. But you said, fear not. And hence, I am not going to fear. Yeah. That is your step. And if you don't take that step, you are doomed. You are like the rest. Why do we call ourselves, charismatics and all that? So we have got to put into practice what we learn. Now this is a red horse coming to your doorstep. He is coming with an intention to kill, steal. He is coming with an intention to create problems with you. And if you are going to give him a nice, come, welcome, I'll give you some hospa, food to eat and all, he is going to ruin you. Okay, so this is you have the authority and the right either to feed him or to hunt him away. Yeah, we are so powerful, We are so powerful, but we are not understanding the power that we have. And if we only understood the power that we have, this life is a cakewalk. I'm telling you, honestly. This life is a cakewalk. Then
it's also in our own home, especially with the siblings, where each one doesn't want to be bothered with the other, and each one just doesn't like, whether it is from our level to our children's level, they are simply not bothered. If something happens, I don't care. I mean, they'll take care. They are quite mature. But that's not what it is. It's the red horse entering into through, I don't care attitude. Mm-hmm.
So yes, very right.
Our own homes.
Yeah. As sister said, you'll not actually find a horse coming to you, but you know. What is that called? Revelations are all images, imagery, right? John is having a vision. So you cannot actually say, my house is secure, there will be no horses coming. No. Horses come in different ways. And you should know. You should learn to identify who that horse is. Right? Is he a white horse of deception? So many people come to your place like an angel. And you tell them everything. Vomit it out completely. And one fine day they will come and whatever you have told them, they will attack you on that. White horse. White horse, we don't have to actually wait for a white horse to come. In your own organization, this happens very often in offices. You give out the secrets, you do this thing, and then after that, suddenly you'll find that he's told your boss all the secrets, and he's got his promotion. You are still on your waiting list. And you wonder, where is the white horse? You see?
We can also start screening with our own selves. If we have ever been affected by white horse or red horse. Because it comes like... it's fine, I go to talk something else, but that has popped in already. When you yourself speak about saying that, this happens, especially with the rivalry that's happening in the house, in the society, in the office, everything. So if you say it's about peace or anything, you will speak about the other, like all these things, gossiping, slander, everything is about these things, how we entertain the riders of these horses. And then we become a part. We begin screening. We will not go far. Have I been influenced am I being still being influenced and I say, no Lord, I'll pray after that. No Lord, it's okay, I will. No. We can't be doing that at all. Am I a reason of somebody else's disharmony, of losing peace, and I prove and show them, no, I didn't do, I said that it was for your good, or something like that. I think we learn from our own self, and then our prayers will be more effective, because effective, because we can't go to the place of bloodshed or this. What we can do at the moment is prayer, sincere prayer. But how many lives and how many people I have been like, you know, have I been looking deceptive? Have I carried those looks? Have I created that disharmony in others? And then will my prayers be effective? Then when I kneel and pray, God will say, yes, this heart has really not been in pain. Yeah. If not, then it is like it will not even hit the roof.
Sister has brought a very important point here actually. Even in our religious circles, social circles, even between husband and wife, you know, you can have I'm a holier than thou attitude. Okay? And you may not be pronouncing it, but your attitude shows you that, you know. You are not the, or in a class like this, like, you know, I'm better than you, I've got more knowledge than you. You know, these are white horses which we have to stop. Because these white horses, then, because you know, how do you say that many will come in my name? They will, and the words of God says, I've healed in your name. I've resurrected. But Jesus will say, I don't know you. These are the white horses, right? Who come as deception? They come to you know, just smooth talk you, just smooth talk you, and then you fall for them. But remember, there's a great consequences, as sister said. It's very, and if you have that attitude in your heart, only you, we, each one of us know with what attitude. We are going a bit further now. Even in small things, suppose I want something from you, right? I'll smooth talk into you, like, you know, I'll say, I want, for temporarily I know that you have something which I desperately require, and I will smooth talk you, white horse. Now you are innocent. Now you think that I'm faithfully asking you something which I'm not. My intention is wrong. My motive is wrong. And that is the white horse which has affected you. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Yeah? So be careful of these white horses. Now the red horse comes to kill. He openly says, I'm war. He comes to kill, he'll steal and deceive. But a white horse is a deceptive horse which comes as like, I'm yours.
Yeah.
And suddenly you'll find he turns.
All that we have to inculcate in us is straight talk.
Yeah.
I need something from you, ask. I need to get information, ask. Anything, tell straight. I don't like this, could be like this, you know. And the other part is lies, though, please don't.
Yeah.
Don't talk lies at all.
Yeah.
Whether it's white lie, small lie, big lie, for your good Lord, my good, nothing. It's just be, you know, that way we can help ourselves into getting further on.
As Sister said, I would call lie as a rider of the white horse. Because it starts with that. He's the main lie. And as she says, no, forget white lies. You don't have to put a white lie. The truth is the truth. And the truth will set you free. The Bible never says a white lie will set you free. No. The truth will set you free. So always speak the truth. At that moment it may feel, you know, but the moment you tell one lie, then you are headed for a series of lies. And then you don't know where you stand.
You don't have to remember any lesson.
Yes.
You don't have to make up a story.
Yes.
It's just true.
I remember the time when I was so expert in telling lies, you know.
We all have been there.
So expert, and I could give you the description and this and that.
Backstory and everything.
Yeah, so expert. I thank God, like, you know, God is so good. So we end with the two horses, or we'll wait for the next two next week, right?
Yeah.
No, it's 4:30. So what are we going to take home today? Besides the horses.
Yes. Time we can ponder, especially this week until next. Am I, even take a little time, might be any part of this week, to screen ourselves. Yeah, that would help us.
Yeah.
You know, one more thing about this, one more thing, like, you know, many of us think that we are holies, right? That is the greatest deception. That is the greatest deception. Think, look into your life. whether we are or not. If we are holy, then Saint Anthony can be put down and we can go up there already.
Let's pray for your siblings, yeah. Pray for our own children, so
yes,
that
very important.
The rider doesn't come in and, he's already entered into so many to attack by giving this no, I don't care attitude. Whether it's cousins, whether it's your own children, brothers, sisters don't know each other. It's like that. Okay, she's fallen off, she doesn't need my advice, so what? But that hatred builds up, saying that, okay, you look after your life, I look after. But that's what Cain said. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
So that's again a bloodshed. It's like not only with your attitude of leaving, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, when you're born in a family, you share the same blood.
Yeah.
We have to be responsible to each other. So we pray for our own children. We pray for seven generations.
Yes.
Yeah. So next week when we come.
Only completed only two horses. Yeah. So I was telling my friend, how many horses we have? We have to
think
now. So many
horses. We'll
never end
this.
Ranch of
horses. Yeah, but they will be always categorized in these four horses because they are the goddess.
The ranch of horses, yeah. Too, you have to shoot them out.
Yeah. Don't take a black horse and paint him white. Huh? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are, Lord, thanking you for your enlightenment for each one of us, Lord.
Yes.
Revelation is truly a book, Lord, where you prepare us for the end times.
Yes.
By beginning here, at this very moment, Lord. Today, Lord, you have shown us two elements of darkness that prowls continuously around us, waiting to devour us. The white horse, which depicts everything that is false, everything that is fake, and the red horse that depicts anger, war, destruction. Lord, you are a God of peace, and these are not elements that have to be in us. But as you help us to meditate and to seek more deeply into us, we want to take these seeds out of us, Lord God. We know that the enemy comes and puts his seeds into the fertile soil. But Lord, you help us to recognize these seeds and help us to pluck them out, Lord God, so that before we become a danger to the world, to each other, to our family members as such, Lord. Help us to recognize these seeds in others as well, O God, so that we may be able to help them to pluck out their seeds, Lord God. So that when they flare at us, Lord, with these seeds, the effects of these seeds, we may not retaliate, Lord. But we will be able to recognize these seeds as the red horse and the white horse, Lord God, and pray for them, Lord God, and, you know, get them into our fold, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the levels of spirituality that you have blessed us with, Lord God. It's only your blessings, Lord. And we pray that we desire to grow more and more in you, Lord. Less of us and more of you is what we desire, Lord God. And one day when we become like you, Lord, we have accomplished everything, Lord God. But until that time, Lord, it's a struggle that we got to take. It's a struggle that we got to take not timidly, Lord God, because you have not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, power, and self-control, Lord God. Lord, and we will use this, Lord God. Help us to meditate on the scriptures day and night, Lord God, because therein lies the key, O Lord, of everything in this world, Lord God. You are the eye-opener, Lord God. Revelation is just one book, O God, and it is related to so many other books in the Old Testament, Lord. Lord, help us to give us the grace, give us the understanding, give us the delight, give us the desire, O Lord, to know you better, so that we, in our own ways, can make this world a better place, Lord God. But once again, as we go to the hospitals, Lord God, to touch the patients there, Lord. We have seen things happening, Lord. We have seen miracles taking place, Lord. And we are not leaving, Lord, any patient there without being touched, Lord God. Because that is the power you have given us. We lay hands and they are healed totally, Lord. That's your word says, Lord God. These are not any ordinary hands. They are your extended hands, Lord God. These are not an ordinary tongue, but it's your extended tongue which speaks, Lord. Which speaks life into those who are in darkness, Lord, and in death, Lord God. And we thank you for this grace that you've given us, which you have given to everyone, but we thank you for helping us to recognize this grace in us, Lord God, so that we can use it in power, Lord God, and to touch the hearts of people, Lord. Nothing for us, but everything for you, Lord. We give you the glory for everything, Lord God, because without you, we are dead, Lord God. But with you, we are more than conquerors, Lord God, as your word says, Lord God. And Lord, we go with this fresh hope into the hospitals, knowing that not only the patients, Lord, but the nurses, the doctors also will be touched, Lord God, by our attitude, by the way we speak to them, Lord. They will see you in us, Lord God. And as we move into this week, Lord God, let us be you for the other, a light, Lord God, so that people, Lord God, will have the grace to come to us and see you in us and thus get their solace, Lord God, which the world requires so badly, Lord God. Once again, we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and favors that you have given each one of us and our family members, Lord. Continue to bless our jobs, Lord. Continue to bless up our vehicles, Lord, our homes, Lord, our extended families, Lord, our spouses and children, Lord, wherever they are, Lord God. Your hand of protection is there, O Lord, because you are faithful, O God. Yes. And Lord, help us to walk this life, Lord God, with a desire to save souls and to save thousands of souls, Lord God, because you have given us the capability to do so, Lord God. And Mother Mary, continue to be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us close to you under your mantle of blue, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen, amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The King who always wears the diadem crown, which cannot be mistaken for anyone. And we are your children, Lord. And we all agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God bless. Have a nice week, and we meet next Friday.
Yeah, 22nd.
I'll have another glass.